Hello, ladies, and welcome. Today we are going to dive into perimenopause and menopause. We hear these terms thrown around a lot, but there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of lack of understanding, honestly, when it comes to women's health and this pivotal time. So we first need to figure out what we mean by these terms so that then we can figure out how in the world our body needs to be supported now. Welcome to Health and Hormones. I am your host, Rita Johnson. Here we talk about all things related to health, hormones, natural living, and those amazing bodies that God has given you and how to take care of them better. I'm so glad you're here. Truly, I just want to start this conversation by saying this is not our fault. As we get older and start to enter into this time of perimenopause and we bring symptoms and things that we're struggling with now that are new or perhaps worse than they used to be, we often are met with resistance at the doctor's office, right? Or we're just gaslit and told, yes, this may be something you're dealing with, but you know what? That's just a part of getting older. Or why don't you try to take hormonal birth control? That should cover up your symptoms. They wouldn't say cover it up because that would be too honest of an answer, right? The reality is, though, that is what they're offering us. They're offering us a band-aid solution when what our body really needs is something much deeper, a much more integral support system. So I want to start off this conversation by really just defining some terms. So what is menopause? I feel like this is pretty common that we do understand the definition of menopause. So menopause is considered the period in time when you no longer have menstrual cycles, and it starts when you have gone 12 months without a period and you are of a certain age, right? So if you have this happen in your early 30s, where you go a year without your cycle, we're not automatically thinking that this woman in front of us is in menopause. However, if someone is in their mid to late 40s or 50s and they've gone a year without a menstrual cycle, now I am considering that this woman in front of me is in menopause. Of course, there are lab numbers that we can do through blood work that would confirm that as well. But in general, that's what we're looking for to qualify someone as in the state of menopause. Perimenopause, however, is actually the 10-year period leading up to menopause. And this is where I see a lot of confusion. We talk about perimenopause as if menopause is imminent, but actually it's very common that we start to show symptoms of perimenopause when we are still 10 or so years away from actually no longer cycling. Are you looking to learn more about how you can balance your hormones on your own? Check out my free ebook all about balancing hormones. It is a lot of the things that we really need to be intentional about doing, especially as we find ourselves over 40 and with imbalanced hormones. So a few of the misconceptions that I see in this perimenopause time are, number one, that when our hormones start to shift and change, then we will start to really experience not feeling well or feeling less than ideal or having some of these symptoms that are more common actually in the menopause time. This may happen. This may be frequently occurring, things like night sweats and mood swings and hot flashes, that kind of thing, but it doesn't necessarily coincide. They may actually be slightly different symptoms that we're noticing for the first time, or an increase or going back to when you first started cycling. If you had symptoms then of acne or fatigue or bloating or PMS type symptoms prior to your period beginning, these can actually return or get worse at this time. So another misconception about perimenopause is that our fertility is gone. This is a big one because I talk to women a lot that are open to life and they're open to conceiving in their late 30s or early 40s, and they feel really frustrated. They feel really devastated, to be frank, when they are told that they're in perimenopause. Because again, what they're translating that to in their brain is that now your fertility is very little to nothing. Now you are basically struggling with, or you will have, infertility from here on out. And that's not quite the case. And this is why a lot of times we'll hear of women as they navigate through their 40s, they'll actually have a surge of fertility. And this is why it is common for women to have, I should say not common, but it happens somewhat regularly for women to have babies in their mid-40s because we tend to have a surge of fertility prior to menopause really starting to kick into high gear. So there's four phases of perimenopause. The four phases are differentiated from each other in the way that our hormones are responding or not responding. So for example, the first phase of perimenopause is when our progesterone levels start to dip. We don't see as high of progesterone levels in our post-peak phase, and that can be a result of beginning this perimenopausal journey. Then later on, we will actually have progesterone and estrogen dipping, which exhibits different symptoms than just progesterone by itself being lower. When should we worry about this perimenopause, menopause time? I would say that this is very similar to when we are having regular, consistent cycles in terms of when should we do something or dive deeper into the fact that something may be wrong. However, when we are entering into this conversation, it's important to always remember that your hormones are not your root cause problem. So in other words, if you are experiencing a lot of moodiness, weight gain, fatigue, and you say, it's just my hormones, and leaving it there, not making changes, not trying to do things differently to listen to what your body is trying to tell you in this season, then this is when we get stuck and oftentimes things start to snowball. So health issues can get worse when this happens. And we also can notice that things that may have been small or insignificant symptoms initially start to get bigger because our body is communicating with us through these signs and symptoms. And if we don't listen to those signs and symptoms, it's going to have to start to yell at you. And if it yells at you, that means oftentimes that we are going to feel a whole lot worse. So look for things that are just frustrating in your day-to-day life. And maybe you're like, Rita, I'm so past that. Then girlfriend, let's get to the bottom of that. Let's see what's going on. If you are noticing yourself on this trajectory of things are just different and I'm not quite sure how to respond to this, then let's talk. We really need to be sure we have somebody in our corner to help us navigate through this perimenopausal time and not let these symptoms fester and become bigger and more difficult, because then it's much more difficult to turn back the clock on what's going on in your body and really start to support it overall. So sometimes people will ask, don't I just want this to hurry up and be done? If my body's going through perimenopause and I'm not cycling regularly, why would I want to do things to promote healthy ovulation, to promote consistent cycles, especially if you don't want to conceive in this time? And to this argument or question, I would really say that we actually want to cycle as long as we possibly can. The reason is because when we have this beautiful relationship of estrogen and progesterone going back and forth with each other, playing this symphony in our body, it's not just progesterone and estrogen, but they are the lion's share of our hormones throughout the cycle. So when we have this happening and happening, there's so many benefits to optimal hormone health. Things like our cardiovascular health, things like our neurological health, right? And these are reasons why women are less likely to suffer from stroke and heart attack than men when we are cycling. Once we get into menopause, the numbers actually level out a lot more. We no longer have that advantage over men in terms of our cardiovascular health and our neurological health. So we really do want to cycle as long as possible. If hormones are not my root cause problem, then what in the world is? And as you can already imagine, hormones are very dependent on other functioning processes in our body, right? I like to talk about hormones as the low-hanging fruit on the tree. If everything else isn't working well for that tree, if it's not getting watered, if it doesn't have appropriate nutrients from the soil, if it's not getting sunshine so that it can convert that into nutrients in the leaves through photosynthesis, if all of these other things are not working well, then we are not going to have fruit-bearing tree, right? It's just going to be barren. And that's very similar to our bodies. So it really does matter that we understand that, A, when we have hormone problems, that there is something that we can do about it. Things in our day-to-day do matter and are making an impact there. And B, a lot of times it's a lot more simple than we initially think. Now, there are situations where it's really complex and there's a whole lot going on, and we really need to get a big, we need to take a step back and take a really good picture of what is going on. And we can do that through lab tests. We can do that through functional lab tests. We can do that through really examining signs, symptoms, what you're eating. All of that kind of work is very critical when that's the situation that we're facing. However, there's also a lot that we can do to really dive deeper into this. And this is why I am offering a perimenopause webinar, where I start by talking through the four stages of perimenopause and the different hallmarks to each stage, so you can get a gauge, first of all, for where you're at in this process, but also ways to support your body through that process as well.